Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Well, Karen Reed, trial number two. It is beginning as we record this. And we're going to break down what we're about to witness here. What is different this time around that wasn't exactly there last year when we had Karen Reed trial part one? Is the sequel going to be better than the original? Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Here to help us break it all down, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jen, I'm just going to throw it out to you. Here we go. Part two. What is standing out to you as being some key differences this round that were not in place versus the first time?
All right. So I'm going to go from something that might seem small to the larger items. So something that might seem small to some people are the fact that they're choosing 18 jurors. Mm-hmm. The last time they chose 16, I just think the reason it's worth even mentioning is because they realize that I think they have potential jury issues that are upcoming. Mm-hmm. It's sort of unusual to have six on hold on ice, but that's what they're going to do. So that's kind of a smaller item, but I think still worth mentioning.
Yeah.
The biggest item, obviously, is the addition of Brenham as the prosecutor, the lead prosecutor in this case. He's engaging. He is so well respected in Massachusetts. He is really eloquent when he speaks. He makes his points clear and concise. He has already made so many changes in what I think are going to be what we call the order of proof. In other words, his presentation of the case. And he is tightening up all those holes that existed with so many people on the first trial. One being accident reconstructionist. To me, this was the biggest hole that the prosecution had, because they had an accident reconstructionist who first of all was intimidated by speaking. He was terrified.
It was so horrible.
Oh my gosh. I felt horrible for him. And obviously I do not suffer from fear of public speaking, but I have a daughter who does. And she was actually allowed some special, compensation when it came to giving high school speeches, which she had to do. Mm-hmm. She was allowed to do them just before her teacher because, I mean, nausea, passing out, profusely sweating, absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
And she remains this way.
Sure.
And there's many people that can very much relate to that. That total fear of being in front of others. And that's what this guy had. And I said it from the beginning, he was shaking.
Yeah.
He asked the judge, "Can I just please look at my report?" The judge said, "No, you can't recite from your report. They don't allow that in Massachusetts." So, Tony, they are getting on a professional who's an engineer, who has all the accreditations, and he's going to be fabulous at letting everybody know how that tail light was cracked, where it hit on John O'Keefe, how John O'Keefe came to rest where he did, how he ended up with a cracked skull. That's the biggest difference. He and Brennan are the two biggest numbers in this.
How are they going to go about that one this time? Like, how are they going to explain exactly how all of that went down? I've been diving into Karen Reed and all different angles of this. I actually saw a really interesting reconstruction video of the 3-point turn that kind of showed at least someone's theory of how this all could have happened. How are they going to present this in court?
Well, I would expect, if it's done professionally, as I think it will be, we are going to have the visual illustrations that we never had in the first trial. Remember, he just tried to explain what happened. I think we're going to have a visual reenactment where he can precisely point out how everything was done. Do I know that this is going to happen? No. Mm-hmm. But that's what a professional does. That's what should happen. So I expect that. Illustrations, even if it's not on video, Tony, I expect it mm-hmm. to be illustrated.
Yeah. And that'll be fascinating to see because there's a lot of I saw a very interesting one today, one I had not seen before. And it really made a lot of sense in terms of a 3-point turn, how she probably maybe she didn't know that she saw him or did she? I don't know. That's all up in the air. Obviously, at one point she said that she didn't see him go in the house. So then she did see him go in the house. So who the hell knows? But it really kind of explained a lot of some of the injuries, especially if John was knocked back and had to crawl over to his cell phone, it explained kind of the scratching on the arm. If he's moving like this across snow, across debris that may be on the ground there, it made more sense to me than any other video I've seen. Again, I don't know how professional it was, but it looked pretty somewhat accurate as to, oh, this is very plausible, considering no one truly does know exactly how all of this happened other than John O'Keefe. And like I've always said, maybe a coyote.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I've seen so many videos and many of them are very, very good. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just don't know that it's truly that complicated.
Yeah.
He had a glass in his hand. You know me, Tony, I'm so much of an Occam's razor. And yeah. That's just based on, you know, doing cases for sure. 28 years. It literally is almost always mm-hmm. the most logical answer to most questions. So he's hit, he's clipped, just as she describes it, mm-hmm. actually on two different occasions in mainstream media. She clipped him. Mm-hmm. She thought she might have hit him and grazed him, right? But that tail light impacts that arm. Remember, he's a huge guy. He's a strong man. Mm-hmm. And going at the speed it was going, I think, caused some of those gashes. That and or remember the glass that he was holding that now in the new docuseries that was just done on ID, she says that. He remember the glass that was unaccounted for mm-hmm. that we knew was there. If you look back, even when you and I discussed, you said, where did that glass come from? I said, I bet you anything. He had a glass in there that was hers mm-hmm. that he took.
Yeah.
Maybe because he thought she was drinking too much, she driving, or just for whatever reason,
yeah.
he said, I'm grabbing this glass that wouldn't match up with the one that we knew about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, she said it on ID. For yep. me, that was kind of my aha moment because it made sense. And that could have even, when that glass was hit and shattered in his arm, could have caused some of those scratches. You know, Tony, do you have the diagram that shows the photo the picture of his arm before it's been enhanced and adulterated and made to look like, you know, Kujak got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can grab it here quick. I know exactly what you're talking about.
These scratches are so superficial, Tony. It's not, you know, these big, long, you know, like bites or scratches or claw marks.
Here we have this one that's up. Is this the one you're talking about?
Well, this is the enhanced one where this is the one I think you pulled from the trial. Not the trial, it was a hearing.
I have the not enhanced one right here. Give me 1 second. Let me open this.
This is the one they decided to make red and deep and look so different.
Oh, it's over here. Let me pull it up. This one?
Yes, with the bruising.
Yeah. Yeah. Explain what we're, I mean, obviously we know what we're looking at here, but what is the points you're trying to make on this one?
The points I'm trying to make, and I think that that's the right one here. The points I'm trying to make is these are very superficial, as is described actually by the medical examiner. These are very surface. You can imagine if it was their theory that it was a dog bites deeply.
Yeah.
A dog would wound way into the epidermis, the mm-hmm. layers of the skin, deep. These are very, very superficial scratches. And so my point is something like that, a grazing scratch from something would cause something like this, as opposed to a deep penetrating, you know, vicious dog attack.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's going to be experts to talk about all this. I think the key point to remember for me is there's no canine DNA on his shirt.
No. There's pig. He could have been attacked by a horde of pigs.
There's pig, which makes sense because if he ate anything with pork, if he ate anything with, you know, a sausage, anything like that, that would make sense that it could be on that fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then, of course, this trial go around, we're going to have the impressions from Chloe's bite marks.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember this, but they made it very clear that the defense said, no, we don't need to see those. What defense team that's trying to prove that a dog named Chloe attacked him doesn't want to see the bite impressions? Because mm-hmm. they know it's not going to match up to these scratches in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, how scientific is that in terms of matching that up? Because I know there's not a ton of dog bite experts out there, but there are some. I believe there was one in the doc, if I'm remembering correctly. And of course, Chloe's still alive. And there is the impressions that are out there. So are we going to see, how are we going to see this differently played out, considering we didn't see much of anything other than assumptions that this dog must have bit him in their story? But now we're actually in this round going to take a look at the impression marks and try to compare it with John O'Keefe's injuries?
Yeah, I think we'll see that on rebuttal. Mm-hmm. In other words, if they continue to try to push this dog bite, you know, theory,
mm-hmm.
if they're allowed to do that, I think that they're going to have rebuttal. They're going to have this expert dog bite witness who now the CW has. Remember, Commonwealth did not call anyone to refute the quote unquote, air quote, testimony from mm-hmm. their witness.
Yeah.
Because number one, they didn't even know what she was going to say. Remember, this was a huge point. The defense was actually sanctioned by Judge Cannone when they brought up their expert because they said, listen, you've not engaged properly in discovery, mm-hmm. reciprocal discovery. You never gave the Commonwealth any chance to prepare for this witness.
Mm-hmm.
Except right now.
Yeah.
And the Commonwealth didn't have time to find a rebuttal witness, didn't even know 100% sure what she was going to say. It was fortunate that she didn't know what she was going to say. And so, you know, that testimony was a hot mess, if you recall, mm-hmm. on the stand, with lots of changes. No, I didn't know there was no canine DNA. Was it a bite? Was it a scratch? She went back and forth. And then they tightened that up during Verdire recently. And she's going to be allowed to testify. But remember, Tony, Judge Cannone said she barely is allowed
mm-hmm.
to meet the mark of an expert.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of this. I mean, that's what, you know, Cannone says. It's a matter of how the jury interprets it. You know, it can be very interesting how a jury interprets anyone's testimony, even if they're, you know, the judge wants it to go this way or an attorney wants it to go that way. They can interpret it completely differently or have more weight on it than it should otherwise have or less weight than it should otherwise have.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.